Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi.
We're mass communicating.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
This is the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.
I gave it a 10.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that.
And now, here are your hosts, Rocky LaFleur.
Everybody on? Good.
Great. Grand. Wonderful.
No yelling on the bus.
Josh Webb.
Sorry I had a fight familiar, your butt at the party.
And Jake Latondras.
I am bad news.
Also starring Rob Kroon.
I bet this guy's into the woods $100.
And Bradley Ramsey.
No, Mark, didn't say it.
Showtime.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Showtime, everybody! Showtime!
Welcome to the End of the Line podcast. I'm Rocky LaFleur, back from the holiday. The holiday. Does that sound British?
You might want to start that over.
I'm starting it over? It's joining me today at the Duck Shop Studios, all the way from out in Oklahoma, but he's been in Mississippi for a while. Patrick Grauer. Grauer, what's
going on? Oh, man, just got back out here to Oklahoma, and it's freezing cold. Got in last night, and it was 28 degrees.
That's the fastest trip. All right, so Patrick texted me yesterday morning, or did we call each other yesterday morning? You texted me when you left.
Yeah, I texted you.
I figured he was on his way home to Oklahoma. No, you were on your way home to Kansas City to take your son back home, and got home back to Tulsa by what, 9 last night?
About 8:38 when I pulled in the driveway.
How in the world anybody make goes to Kansas City, then to Tulsa, leaving, what time did you leave, 6, 6:30?
About 6, yeah, right around 6:30. It was 14 hours in the truck.
You had to be driving 90.
I mean, I usually set my cruise on about 78 and just roll with it. I mean, once you get over in Oklahoma on the turnpike, you know, you go about 83. But it was
so. I mean, when you get in the truck for that long, how much of that time you're gonna spend on the phone talking?
You know, my kids were in the truck yesterday. I didn't spend a lot of time on the phone talking. I mean, we just roll. Put on a little Pandora and hammer down, man. There's only one.
Okay,
one
you know who
Arkansas.
I'm calling if I go on a long road trip like that? It's two people. I'm either calling you or I'm calling Dylan. Dylan will keep me awake all night. Not to say that he's boring or to say that sucker is going to keep an array of topics the whole time that will keep you intrigued and listening and talking, discussing.
Yeah, well, I mean, I mean, leaving at 6:30, I mean, most people aren't up to talk to you. So I called one of my buddies that I knew was duck hunting, and he told me the birds had finally showed up here. And he's like, I killed 4 in one shot. And I was like, wow. So I'm getting pretty anxious about getting back out hunting up here.
Dylan can talk for a long time. Can he not?
Do what?
Can not? Dylan can talk for a long time.
Oh, yeah. But you're right. He's always interesting. It's always something.
Oh yeah.
You never get bored.
He's not going to listen to this podcast, so I'm not worried about it.
You never get bored talking all double day.
All right, so tell me about your trip to Mississippi, the hunting trip. Tell me about how it went real quick. I got a good one for you.
We got down there the day after Christmas, about 9 o'clock that night. It was good. David Lindsay called me on my way in. Is like, hey, you want to go hunting in the morning? And I'm like, good grief, man. I just spent 14 hours in the truck. I really kind of want to catch some sleep. And I don't know. We finally got to bed about midnight. I forgot to my dad's house and got up about 3:30. We went hunting. We killed a few birds. Bunch of wood ducks, a few mallards. I mean, they had been scouting And then the next day we went back to the same spot, killed some mallards, some wood ducks, and a couple of hooded McGangsters, which, I mean, I honestly have never killed hooded McGangsters in flooded timber. But
why? Why? Why?
Why would they be in flooded timber?
No, no. Are you mounting them?
No, I didn't shoot them. I'll say I did not shoot them. But man, I tell you what, the way they worked in, the way that they came in, they landed just like a pair of wood ducks would. And David Lindsay's youngest son was with us, and he didn't.
He
popped them.
It only went downhill from there, right? From that first day.
Yeah. So the third day of getting up at 3:30 in the morning, we went to one of the most beautiful holes I've ever hunted in my life, on some public land, and we killed two squirrels.
Two squirrels. Boy.
Yeah, we had a couple of mallards drop in the hole and nobody was paying attention. But
I mean, next day we're gonna hear that you brought home two roly polies.
Nah, up here we bring home a couple of possums or
A roly poly is?
I know what a roly poly is.
I fix to say you're from Mississippi, you gotta know what a roly poly is.
Hey,
maybe
so
people from
anyway,
Oklahoma don't know.
I know that you wanted me to tell about my hunting trip, but I got to tell you a funny story that happened before I left up here to go home that I forgot. I hadn't told you about this yet. It was pretty funny. So one of my buddies had called me on like a Wednesday, and he's like, hey, are you going out hunting this weekend? Are you going out to your camp? And I was like, yeah, we're going out Friday. You know, we're going to hunt it Saturday, Sunday. He's like, he's like, I don't want to invite myself, but can I tag along? I gotta go pick up a dog.
I don't want to invite myself, but can I tag along?
Well, dude, he's a good friend, and like I always try and get him to go hunting with us, and he's just always got something going on. And I was
like,
sure, man.
Don't preface. I don't want to invite myself, but can I tag along? You're inviting yourself if you're asking to tag along.
Yeah, I'm not giving him a hard time though.
He's not gonna listen to this.
I know, but anyway, that's not what I want to tell. So, we get up, and he was going to pick up a dog for his kids for Christmas, and he didn't want his wife to know, and he didn't want the kids to know. And so he's like, "I just need a good excuse to get out there." And I was like, "Yeah, man, come on." So we get out there. Next morning, I walk down from upstairs. I'm walking through the garage, and I had all my stuff in the shop because it had gotten cold that night. And I walk out the door of the garage, and I shut it behind me. And I'm about halfway between the house and the shop, and it's not 20 yards, okay? And I hear him open the door and then scream and slam it. And I turn around, and I'm like, what in the world? And I see a skunk walking down the side of the house, around the back of the house. And so I walk back over there towards him, and I mean, I hit the cloud, and my eyes just start watering. I'm like, "Are you? What's going on?" He's like, "I thought that was a dang cat." He almost let it in the garage with him.
Wow, that would have been a wonderful early morning surprise.
Well, wherever it sprayed, it got in the air conditioning.
So
we got back, and we had every door and every window in the house open. But
Shannon was not happy.
Oh, it wasn't at our house. It was up at hunting camp, so you were fine. About 4 o'clock that afternoon, it finally went away. But anyway, that was kind of a funny story that happened before we left. Yeah, Shannon would have been none too happy. So, what you got for me today? What story you got?
I'm thinking about that. I'm saving mine. I'm saving my story. Nah, we got a few minutes. All right. I figured out how to take your respect and your relationship with your kids to a whole new level yesterday. And it may be short term, maybe long term. I don't know yet. I can't give you the results of this. So, yesterday, get to my mom, and my mom had had a storm line come through, blew a bunch of shingles off, tore fence down, blew the my dog kennels away. My dogs got out. A couple of my labs are staying there right now while we're building. And anyway, my mom went out looking for them, and in the ditch down the road where they stopped and yelled, my daughter Taylor leans out the window to call for the dogs. And as she does, she backpedals as fast as she goes out the window. In the ditch, right beside the truck, is about a 7-foot alligator. That's how warm it is this winter. But yeah, they're still out and pretty doggone active. So we get down there. I go to my mom's yesterday to help fix and clean up and, you know, get all this stuff picked up. And yes, the dogs did return home. But
my daughter,
Taylor, wanted to go show me where this alligator was. So the kids and I load up, Roy in, we ride down the road. When I say, all right, so when they told me ditch, I'm thinking flume ditch, right? Like a real big flume ditch that drains like 1,000 acres. I'm not thinking roadside ditch that may be a foot deep. This alligator is still in this foot deep ditch. So my kids, like a bunch of rednecks, are riding in the back of the truck, 75 degrees. You know, my wife was totally against that. But I grew up doing it. I grew up riding in the back of the truck, fixed sign. As long as you're driving slow, not a big deal. So we pull up, the alligator's still there. He's just moving back and forth in this ditch. So my kids are sitting in the back of the truck. Now, on the other side of the road from this ditch is a lake. I said, man, somebody comes by, you're going to run over this alligator. And so I walk up there. I grab this alligator by the tail. And, buddy, let me just tell you, he's pretty doggone active. He shakes my arm a few times. Feels like he's actually going to shake it off. He's probably 6, like I said, somewhere between 6-7 foot long. He's not full. He's working on about 60%. That's where I'm going to say he is.
What were you thinking?
I've grabbed alligators before. Not a big deal. You know, as long as you keep them out and you keep an eye on their head, it's not that big of a deal.
You do have like 8-foot arms, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I grab him by the tail, and I look up at my kids, and my kids are just sitting there in amazement that Daddy is holding this alligator. I mean, they are just enthused. It's like I said, I saw, if this was Super Mario, I saw the little doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo going off above their head. So when their eyes, at that moment, their dad had become Crocodile Dundee. And I said, hey, y'all come over here, y'all. I'll let you touch it. They wouldn't come near it. So I take it, and I put it in the lake across the road. But the credibility that I gained from grabbing a little 6-foot alligator, oh boy. You know, we get back to my mom's house. And like I said, if any game warden is listening to this, we didn't hurt the alligator in any way. We actually probably saved its life moving it across the road. You with me still?
Yep, I hear you.
Okay. But, all right, so we get back to my mom's house to eat New Year's, I guess it would be, called Lenner. That's my new word, Lenner. You know, you get older, eat breakfast, and then you're not hungry again until about 3 or 4 o'clock. You eat Lenner. So, we get back, and they run in the house. And they're telling this unbelievable story of their dad jumping in the ditch, jumping on top of this alligator, grabbing him up and toting him across the road. So, you know, and on top of that, the 6-foot alligator has turned into, he's 10-foot.
Of course. So, I mean, you picked him up. You didn't drag him by the tail. At this point, you picked him up and bear hugged him and took him across the
Heck yeah. So I'm wondering, you know, let's just say by the time that they're 40 and they're all sitting around as a family, three families sitting around Thanksgiving dinner, and they're talking about the time that their dad grabbed an alligator. Do you understand how much this story is going to get embellished?
Oh, it's going to be wonderful. I mean, wait till you have grandkids and they're telling about the time on New Year's Day that daddy wrestled the alligator, or grandpa or pops or whatever they're going to call you, Rock, wrestled the alligator back into the lake. So, I mean, can you imagine in Big Meat's head, like, how this went down?
My thing is, I'm sitting, you know, after the fact. You're already a hero to your children as a father, but you're not pulling one over the alligator wrestler. I don't think that they have that in their mind. My dad wrestled an alligator. I'm not about to lie to him. I'm not about to go drinking tonight. I'm not about to have premarital sex. My dad wrestled an alligator.
Can you imagine what he's going to do to that boy? I mean, Rocky, the girls probably won't ever have dates once it gets out that you wrestle alligators. So all the guys will be scared to come pick them up.
So, you know, you bring up Big Meat in the back of the truck. All right, this is how you would imagine Big Meat in the back of this truck. All right, so you've seen my buddy Viper, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And all of his shenanigans. But what makes those videos great is not Viper. I mean, anybody can jump on a 8x16 trailer and dance. Not that big of a deal, right? But right. What makes these videos great is the hype man. He makes the video. If I had a hype man yesterday, it's Big Meat. I mean, he's in the back of the truck. Oh! Wow! Dad, look at that! You got an alligator! Wow! He's shouting the whole time. Big Meat is my hype man yesterday.
That's hilarious.
So, at this whole time, of course, Royen's not getting out of the truck. No. She is not having a part of this. You know, anything that's in the reptilian community, no. Not getting within 100 miles of it. No, 100 feet. But, I'm like, Royen, did you get a picture or video of this alligator? You know, at any point, my phone was, you were looking at Facebook. Did you think of just taking a picture through the window? Nope. You don't need anything. I said, I wasn't going to post it to social media. I just wanted it for myself.
Oh, and she's a vet.
Yeah.
So that's what, Rocky, that's what I need to do one time when I come up there. Is I need to bring, which I hate snakes, but I need to get somebody's like pet snake and bring it with me. And take it. It's sick. We need to take it to see the vet.
Ooh. She'd go run out. She would break the brick wall down in her clinic. So, hey, listen, thank you for all of you that listen. Thank you for your help in, you know, confirming what we thought about the logo. Number two, if you have not filmed a video for the future, you've got a few days left before your kids go back to school. Get them done this weekend. It's not a big deal. You know, 7 questions that you ask and you film it. Post it to Duck South. And the ones we've gotten so far are great. Really, really good.
It's so cool. I mean, the ones you've posted so far, just it's so cool seeing those kids just in their element, just being kids in the duck woods. I think it's really a neat thing.
Well, Patrick, thank you again for coming on for a few minutes to help me do this opening. I appreciate it. Glad you made it back to Oklahoma good, but we need to get to that interview with Rob now. All right, guys, like I told you on the front end of the podcast, it's not Monday, it is Wednesday, but we're bringing Monday to Wednesday, and of course, with bringing Monday to Wednesday, you know who's here with me, Mr. Rob Kroom. Rob, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
Morning. Happy Christmas and New Year and everything to you and yours and Mama and them.
All right, so how did Christmas at the Kroom house go this year?
Pretty wild. The boys said it was the best Christmas ever. Of course, they said that last year. And, well, we got some interesting gifts this year, for sure. Liz and I both have emergency phone numbers in our phones now. And feel real bad for the neighbors.
I bet you do. So tell me about a little bit about the gifts that your boys received and why you may have emergency numbers in your phone.
The gift that keeps on giving. One of my kids got a drum set, and I haven't, you know, my alarm system in my house picks up on loud noises and stuff. And so every time he hits,
did you say drum set?
Oh yeah, yeah. A full drum set. Not just like not a bongo, you know. If I could get him on that bongo, we could go travel around on Grateful Dead tour and let him bang that thing around for a couple of grilled cheeses. But anyway, so he got a drum set. So every time he gets to playing on this thing, it makes my alarm go off. It goes like he'll start banging on it, which is obviously the most obnoxious noise in the world. And then on top of that, the alarm system in the kitchen starts going, glass broken, glass broken, glass broken. So every time he starts banging on this thing, I have the annoying sound of the drum on one ear, and on the other end, I have that stupid alarm telling me that a glass is broken, when we know damn well there's no glass broken. It's just a big, obnoxious bunch of banging.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was
happen at your house. Only you.
Yeah, and that's not all. It gets better. So, let's see. Where should I go with this? So they also got hoverboards, and so anyway, you know that they were trying to figure out how to ride them, and it took them about 2 minutes to start doing tricks and figure it out. And I was like, man, it can't be that hard, you know. And I was about 40 pounds over the weight limit, but I was like, you know, they're pretty strong. They'll hold up. So I start, you know, riding this. Well, I wasn't riding it. I was a victim is what I was. And I should sue that company. And also I should sue the person that got it for them. But anyway, so the kids got it down. I mean, they're just, you know, they're just riding around like crazy. And, so anyway, I get on it, and I'm like, it can't be that hard. You know, I mean, they can do it. And so I get on this thing, and at first, it kind of wouldn't go, and I was like, I was kind of like, what do I need to do here? And I started doing the death wobble, and that thing started going back and forth, and I started panicking. And the next thing you know, I am 10 feet in the air, fully parallel to the ground, and come to a big, huge crash. I'm talking about, like, I don't know how I survived.
All right, hold on. Let's walk through the parts of a death wobble, especially on these hover wheels or whatever they are. The first part of the death wobble is the hand motion, right?
Right, yeah, you get
the circular
the
hand motion.
Yeah, the treading water, if you will.
Yeah.
And the thing about the death wobble is that you realize as soon as it starts, you're done. Unless something major saves you, there's no way around it. Like, the death wobble, everybody should know that's ridden a four-wheeler or a go-kart or anything, a dirt bike, anybody that's had these kind of childhoods understands that when that starts, you need to start looking for an exit, because you're going to bust it. You just need to know if you're going to bust it somewhere that doesn't kill you, or you know that your life flashes in front of your eyes. I don't care what you're on, and it did me.
That's the second part of the death wobble, is the life flashing before your eyes.
Right. Yes. And you don't know, because at that time when it starts, you realize that at any moment it's over.
The third part is the swinging of the feet back and forth, right? Where
yeah, it's
I've seen so many crashes with these. What are they called? What are those little things really called?
I think the hoverboard?
I don't know what they're called. Where you're standing on them, they got two wheels on each side. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, they're just a hoverboard.
Well, and that's when the wheels start going back and forth after, you know, like I said, first is the hand motion. Second, light flashing before your eyes. Third, wheels going back and forth. Fourth, you're like, oh. Now make sure I tell, you know, you're thinking, did I tell my kids I loved them, my wife, I loved her, blah, blah, blah. And then there's the crash.
You're thinking like, did I get that life insurance? Did my agent, you know, did that policy go through? I mean, is my will up to date? All that happens. I don't understand. How can all that stuff go through your head in such a short amount of time? And why is it that when you go through the death wobble and actually get airborne, how does your mind go through all of that at once? And you're only, you know, you're falling for like a half a second, but you can think of 5,000 things that you panic. But I don't understand how your brain, you know, somebody smarter than me will have to get on the post and tell us how that happens. But, you know, it's almost like, it's like a horror, it's a horror movie in 0.5 seconds.
Unless God intervenes, that's the only fifth step in there. God sends an angel to intervene on your behalf.
Yeah, lay me down softly.
Hey, speaking of Christmas miracles, we are not going anywhere, until we talk about this magical coat. Now, listen. The only other coat in the history of man that's ever been talked about in the sense of this coat that you got was Joseph in the Bible. You know, way back in the Old Testament. This thing is glorious. I mean, this thing is magical.
There's almost not a really good word or adjective to describe it, because it is not only a head turner, it is something that you know, it's out of this world. Whoever decided, you know, that this was a good idea needs to be marketing for Coca-Cola or, you know, some big time company.
This thing's a show. The way that I would describe it, a head turner, I would also describe it as a showstopper.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's a, you know, in the photo, you know, that takes it to a new level, and I'd like to give Elizabeth some credit on that. You know, another thing that happened, every time I go hunting, you know, for 4 or 5 days, my phone will send me emails, and it'll be like, you know, your confirmation of your Amazon order, whatever the item is, and I'll get like 4 or 5 of these a day. She gets on Amazon Prime and just punishes me for hunting. And it's something that I've learned that it's the trade. You know, everybody has the little something they have to trade with their wife. So I come home for Christmas and she's gotten all the presents. Everything's done, wrapped and everything. And I was more surprised at the gifts my kids were getting than they were, because I didn't know what they were. And I didn't know who they were from. I didn't know if it was from Santa Claus, from us, from her parents, my parents. I had no idea. I still don't know. So anyway, we're over at her parents' Christmas, you know, enjoying the food, getting fat and all that. And my brother-in-law is over there laughing hysterically. And he's a real calm, you know, keeps to himself fella. And he's over there cackling. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, what has got you laughing this hard? Well, he shows me he's got one of those new iPhone X's or whatever, and it's got this little emoji thing or one of those whatever it is, Bitmoji or whatever. Anyway, it makes you a face and can make you funny noises and faces and stuff. Well, Liz saw it, and she's like, I'm going to get one. And I'm like, really? So fast forward 2 days later, I'm hunting again, of course, and I get a text. And Liz says, well, my phone must know that I was talking about it, and it's starting to die, and the battery's only lasting whatever, an hour. And I was like, here we go. So the next thing I know, I get an email from Verizon telling me about my new phone and how much my bill has gone up and what they're charging me. And she just billed everything. So anyway, so about 5 minutes later, I get this cartoon looking character of my wife and her sending me these goofy little messages. And so I called her and I called her later and I said, did you buy this phone just for that? And she was like, oh, no. My phone, you know, it was old. It was like a year and a half old. She had like an iPhone 8 Plus or something. She's like, oh, no. My phone, you know, they gave me like $300 for it, and this one was only $1,200. I was like, what? So anyway, so she keeps sending me these little cartoon emoji things, whatever. So I get home from hunting, and at this point I've realized that, you know, my hunting season is costing me a whole bunch of money. But anyway, so I'm like, I tell her, I was like, I heard that this camera is like really, really good. And Jake's taking some pictures while we were hunting videos. And I'm like, man, that looks like, you know, like a professional camera. And so neither one of us could figure out how to do it naturally. So I called Jake and put him on speakerphone. And he's telling Elizabeth how to go through this thing and make these crazy pictures. And they look awesome. Well, I already had the sweatshirt on, and she was like, let me take your picture and do it on this portrait mode or some mode, I don't know. And she takes the picture and immediately starts cackling like her brother-in-law. And I'm like, what? Let me see it. And she showed it to me, and I said, send me that right now. And so I tested the waters a little bit. I sent it in our group, and I sent it in a couple of other, you know, text and what have you, and was getting a really good feeling of some people thinking I was an absolute idiot, and the other people were thinking I was an absolute genius. So that's when I decided, I said, this is the perfect opportunity for me to, you know, get this baby out in front of some folks and make it my profile picture. And I you know, and one of my buddies, he made it his profile picture. So I'd like to give a big shout out to Jake Seifert for teaching us how to take that glamour shot. Don't have to go to the mall anymore.
All right, so that is exactly what I was just about to ask you. Was this certain photo, was it called glamour shot inside the list of choices?
I don't know that because I still have the iPhone 8. I don't know what it's listed as.
Let me ask you this. Do you think these people from China had any idea? If they just would have gotten this work. All right. So Rob and I talked about this before the podcast. It took him about 6 weeks to get this sweatshirt after he ordered it. Now, I say this. Do you think if the Chinese would have understood who they were sending this sweatshirt to, and the potential that it had, if they would have gotten it to you, let's just say 3 weeks earlier, how many would have been ordered before Christmas?
Probably 1,000.
Oh, again, Rob broke the internet.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... Hell, I liked it. I wanted it for myself. It's going to look great. I can't wait to wear it, you know, when I get back to Arkansas tomorrow. Elizabeth, oh, I forgot to tell you this. I got a gift that keeps on giving here, folks. When she asks me what I want, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I really don't need anything right now. So, you know, maybe just some, you know, give me some nice toothpaste and some shampoo or something. Put me a big bag of mega bag of beef jerky peppered in my stocking or whatever. Well, anyway, I get this little box and she's like, this is for you. And I was like, what is this? And then I start feeling bad because I didn't get her enough stuff. So it's one of those things you're like, you know, are we even? Do I need to get? So anyway, I open the box. Inside the box is a pair of light blue socks with Jake and Chirpy's face on them. She literally had socks made with my friend's face on them. She said, now when you're home and away from them, you could still have them on you. And I was like, you think we're gay, don't you? And she's like, yeah, I do. And so, anyway, I've got the socks, too. So, anybody sees me out, I'll have the Spec 9 socks on and the hoodie. I'll be hard to miss, I'm pretty sure. But I think the socks are the best gift I've ever received, ever.
I mean, I knew today was going to be good. We had a lot of catching up to do, but not this good.
Well, I didn't know. I mean, I didn't even know you could do that. Like, how do you get socks made anyway, it's absolutely incredible.
Well, I'm going to say this, and this wasn't to copy Rob in any kind of way, but I just started receiving that ad on Facebook about 5 days ago. Well, Monday night. What's today, Wednesday? Monday night or Sunday night? I can't remember which night. I ordered the mallard. Now, I asked my wife laying in bed. I said, do you want me to get you the mallard hen? Oh, my Lord. Wrong question.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet you got lucky.
Oh, all right.
I want the mallard really bad, but I know how long it took to get my deer, and I'm pretty much a deer hunter now, because, I mean, the ducks, whatever, so I think I'm just a deer hunter now.
All right, so let me ask you this. Did you watch any bowl games over the past few weeks?
Yes, I did. I hit that Greasy Guarantee like everybody else should have done with Alabama, and then I watched pretty much most of the games. One I was really interested in is the Mississippi State game because they got Joe Moorhead, who's, I'm doing air quotes, an offensive genius. And they have the best offense they've had in, you know, since Dak was there, and they cannot score. So I'm trying to figure out when they lose all these good players and the recruiting class was just kind of like ours, like, meh. What are they expecting from the Goonie guy? Like, what is he going to do? How is he going to ever be top six in the West? I mean, I'm talking about this guy has no clue what he is doing. He looks so lost on the sideline that it makes Matt Luke look like Lou Holtz.
Oh, there's definitely a competition for incompetence on the sidelines between Moorhead and Luke. I ask you, though, bigger loss yesterday, Mississippi State or Georgia?
Honestly, I think State, because Georgia, you know, Georgia had all that go down, and I don't know, you know, everybody's like, well, they should have been in the playoff. Well, they should have beat LSU, and they would have been in the playoff. So, you know, Georgia didn't care. Obviously, you could tell, and Texas wanted to beat them. I mean, Texas played great. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know. Both of them were pretty upsetting. But if I was a Georgia fan, I would not feel as bad as if I was a Mississippi State fan. If I was a Mississippi State fan, I would be kind of confused, unsure of the future, wondering, you know, if Dan Mullen will come back. You know, I don't know. I don't know how they feel. Maybe we should ask Aces if he he has any ideas.
I'll say this. I will definitely say this. I felt like watching Mississippi State's offense yesterday was like playing Tecmo Bowl when we were 10 years old. You only had about four plays that you ran. Besides adding quarterback sneak to the right, quarterback sneak to the left, to the choices. But I would say this, Fitzgerald, dude, I don't care how much everybody talks him up. He sucks at passing.
Yeah, he
cannot pass it.
He's about as accurate as Dak. You know, we've talked about this before. I mean, Mullen, you know, he's a great quarterback coach. He's incredible, and he's had good quarterbacks, and he's in Florida now, and that's it. That's it. Oh. He's not coming back. He's not the guy that they claimed was the biggest embarrassment and horrible person and needed to leave was actually the only thing keeping that program together.
Well, let me ask you this. I tagged you in a post on Facebook the other day. I never got your response. I don't know where I saw this video, but that video I tagged you in and posted it up, tagged you in it. If you're in a fight, which we've talked about fighting many times on this podcast, we're long over the hill of jumping into a fight. But my thoughts on that were, if a guy breaks out in a karate fight, after you have put the phones down, you've turned your hats around backwards, what an adrenaline level. If we're sitting on a scale of 1 to 10 and your adrenaline's about a 2, pre-fight, what does it go to after a guy breaks out in a karate pose?
First of all, you need to know if the guy actually knows karate or if he's just trying to flex. If the guy knows karate and he's not trying to flex on you, you need to know what belt he is. If we're talking yellow belt, if we're talking yellow belt or something, you know, you could just take him out. But I'm 60 pounds and 15 years from whooping somebody's ass. You know, and I never was much of a fighter. I can get us in a fight, but I can't get us out of a fight. So, first of all, you gotta survey the situation and decide, hey, is this guy gonna beat me down with his karate chops? Or does he have ninja stars in his pocket? And then you also gotta know, do I have an escape route? Can I get out of this situation? Because if this guy is a super master ninja, whatever they call him, then you're in trouble. And you know, you get karate chopped in the wrong spot, you're down, buddy. I mean, if he's really a sensei, then you got to watch out, man. You got to watch out.
All right, let me lay it out for you. Fourth grade. One of the four fights I've ever been in my life. Fourth grade, this new kid comes to school. He's scooping up all the women because he's the new guy. I mean, all the girls are hanging all over him. I'm like a foot taller than this guy. I'm going to beat his butt after a peewee football game.
Ooh.
So, what struck me with this video? Here we go. Here's what struck me and why I posted it. Because I told this guy, I'm going to whip you tonight. Well, we all get to the playground, and, you know, everybody gathers around this circle. And you didn't stretch it out back then, but, you know, you're kind of dancing around. Well, this guy breaks out in a karate pose. Well, you're in fourth grade. You really get intimidated by a karate pose. So I go at this guy, you know, you don't go at this swingy in the fourth grade. You go at somebody, you're going to tackle and pin them to the ground and then start punching. Dude, this guy starts doing cartwheels as I come at him, and he hits me a couple of times in the head. I'm out. I'm done. He literally catches me with a foot and gets up and hits me with a hand in this cartwheel motion.
Hey, well, you didn't know the belt level.
This kid had to be a fourth grade black belt who does cartwheels at a white or yellow or green level, and is throwing punches as they do the cartwheel.
I guarantee you that guy right now lives in Canton, Ohio, and he's a sensei, and he's teaching on Tuesdays and Thursday nights, and then fighting on the weekends.
Oh,
so, I mean, you could actually claim that, kind of like a claim to fame, that you got beat up by a sensei.
Running his own dojo. I think that you and I brought the word dojo back. I think we brought that back.
Yeah, bold move, Cotton.
Hey, I got two more topics I want to cover real quick. It was on my list that I pre-prepared, which got thrown out the window today. But number one, update on the neighbors. Did you go help them get
man,
the
neighbors are
down?
Yeah, they I haven't seen them in a while. I hope maybe they went on vacation or something, but you know, the good thing is they probably owe me some money because I look over their house. You know, I make sure that nothing, you know, nobody's in there, nobody's robbing them. You know, they probably
bad
should start
feedback.
Well, I don't know what to tell you.
So you hadn't seen them all of Christmas break at all?
I haven't seen them. You know, I haven't seen them in a week or two, at least. I don't know what's going on. Maybe they went to Utah to see family or something.
Utah. Jeez. Only strange people are going to Utah to see their family. Apologize to anybody that's listening to this as family in Utah. But literally, if you're going to Utah for Christmas, yeesh.
I mean,
you may have plans for a bomb somewhere in your house.
I mean, it's 2019. You got FaceTime. I mean, you just come up with some excuse like, look, man, I can't make it this year. We'll FaceTime and, you know, say hello to everybody and love you and hope mama and them are good, and that's it.
All right, one more short one. I heard, this is just a heard, you know how I like to play I heard game with you. I heard that you had volunteered one day a week to work at the Scout call center, Scout the Dog call center. Is that true?
Yeah, I have, Rocky, and you know, it's been going pretty rough. Scout's on the loose, and, you know, got a few trail cam pics of Scout, but I've got a bad feeling, you know, and a lot of people that have called in have been really worried about Scout and wanting to help any way they can, but the owners don't want anybody to help, so it's a tough situation, and, you know, doggy heaven is real, and that, you know, that's what I've been telling people when I answer the calls at the call center, that, you know, Scout may be in doggy heaven with the other doggies playing up there, or he could be in the Mississippi Delta fighting off coyotes and predators, you know. I'm sure that if he is alive, that he is whipping ass and taking names. Because the last thing that, you know, they said to Scout in the boat was, don't take no shit from nobody. And so, you know, I'm just hoping for the best. I think Scout, you know, one of the greatest dogs in the world. I thought the ransom money was kind of high, but hopefully whoever got that is down in Beau Rivage at the casino having lobster tails and whatever else their heart desires. But yeah, the Scout call center is pretty rough, man. There's a lot of, you know, people upset. Every once in a while I get a prank call, I think, with people, you know, screaming at me about how stupid it is and Scout's dead and, you know, we should quit talking about Scout and all this, and you know, it hurts, but you got to move forward, and you got to keep positive and realize that Scout may be in doggy heaven with the other puppies. Scout may be retrieving ducks in doggy heaven. That ducks are in heaven too, and they're having the greatest hunt ever. He might be picking up, you know, 30 a day, tail wagging. You know, somebody drying him off after he gets out of the water, one of somebody else's heaven. You know, keeping him keeping him fed and groomed and everything. I'm getting a little emotional. I hope this guy's okay.
Oh my!
Hey, I've got a list of questions on the yellow pad that I want to ask, but you know what? Just take a guess. What my number one question is: if I ever sat down with anybody from the family, especially the son or the mama, and this is wish nothing but the best for Scout, we really do. But I want to give you one guess before we go. What's my number one question to him?
Do you honestly think Scout is alive?
No. I want to know if Scout is a red and pink Starburst lover or an orange and yellow. If he's a red and pink, I'm joining the cause.
I bet you Scout is all about that pink.
I'm going to say that he's an orange and yellow. Yeah. I'm laying Starburst out for him. I want to know if we're laying out. Did you go buy a bag of Fave Reds? Or,
yeah.
You know, did you just buy a mixed bag of orange, yellow, red, pink?
Right.
That's my
question. It makes a difference.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing, I mean, Scout's got a great name, and he could be out scouting in the woods and skipping around. So, who knows, man? That's a different deal for sure.
Well, I'll leave you with this one, Rob. I'm not putting that we talked about Scout in the description, because all of these crazy animal activists that's sending crap to me because we actually just talked about the facts of it last week, you're not going to see it. You're going to have to listen through this whole podcast or find out that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want those people on me.
So I'll say this before we go. My wife was very, very helpful in a lot of ways to a lot of these shelters, animal activists, trying to be a good citizen, being a veterinarian. But what she's come to find out, let me just give you a little information about animal activists. They care more about animals than they do humans. They're a bunch of loony tunes, nutsos. She said, I'm done.
The first thing that came to my head was, if they're this tore up about this dog, who the life expectancy is, what, like 7 to 10, maybe? Then what's going to happen when somebody in the family dies?
They don't care.
What if somebody in the... No, it's all about Scout.
And what I said about the animal activists is not concerning the family, but the people that's joining in the fight, these people, they're crazy. You know,
oh, yeah.
I know that Josh Webb has offered numerous times to try to help these people with no response to him. He knows the area. He lives in that area. So, anyway, Rob, I've enjoyed it. I know you got to run. Great Monday. I knew it was going to be a good one. Hey, we'll have to catch up on my list next week because we had to throw it out the window today.
Yeah, I mean, we had to get some stuff, it was fresh on our minds. So.
The Death Wobble. Title of the podcast, The Death Wobble.
Yeah, I may have a picture of it if you want me to send you one.
Please. All right, Rob, thank you again. We want to thank all of you that listened to this edition of the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.